know the clever medical terms, PhD and HBHD, you know, they've got some clever names. And I was just thinking about it just now. Do you want a GFPD in community? No God, find freedom. Make a difference. That's what God calls us to. Are you on the right path? Today we're going to take a look at a few things where, you know, God doesn't just want loyalty from us. Get connected to a church and just be loyal. Just go every Sunday. That's what God wants from us. No, God wants us to be connected to make a difference. If Grace Life isn't your home, then find a place where you can lock your feet down and God can use you to make a difference. I had a great conversation with JC about someone in the same regard, and we keep praying for him, and he was saying how he's found a new community and the person has locked in. I said, well, that is it. God doesn't say go to Grace Life and that's the law. He just says get locked into community, then get their handles on where they are going, and then make a difference. That is God's plan for us, that we all contribute to make a difference, not the leaders or the pastors, that every single one of us has a role to play. So the series in the past, just a quick recap. Week one, Ryan shared, our direction, not our intention, determines our destination. And he used the analogy of going on a holiday to Belito, which is on the N2, cars locked and loaded, family in, and after a while they realize that they are on the N3. The N3 takes you to Joburg, but even knowing that they're on the wrong road, just keeps going, and 5 hours later gets to the Vaal Dam. What a great analogy. I mean, that has been game changer for me. That you can notice the subtle things on your journey, yet we still continue. So our direction, not our intention. We may have the right intention. We've got to make sure that we are going in the right direction. Week two, Andrew shared about making course correction. Let's not wait until we hit the wall. Remember that? Let's not wait till things fall apart and then we want to change things. So when it comes to rifles and the scope on a rifle, when I did some research, in the military terms, you'll hear in movies, guys, the enemy is one click away or two clicks away. You ever heard that? So on the rifle, they would make a one click difference on the scope that's on the rifle. 1 millimeter difference equates to 100 millimeters a kilometer away. 100 meter difference on 1,000 meters away. Now, if you know what the target looks like, it could mean the difference between actually hitting the target or missing it entirely by one click change. So you and I could make subtle changes. This morning, we will get some great practical handles on what it is that we can do. If we've been missing the target, how can we fix that one click that takes us to hit the target 1,000 meters away? You see, the changes we make today isn't just for the here and today. It'll impact us. It'll impact our children. It'll impact their children's children and their children's children. Amen? And then in week three, Grant shared about his kids pulling out the things in the cupboards. They're just, kids are locked and loaded to a cupboard door to pull everything out. And he spoke about your heart matters. Trusting God over your own feelings and desires leads to the life He has planned for us. How great was that? In week four, this message entitled today, Getting Help Along the Way. Now, when I say that sentence, you're probably already thinking, I know where this is going. And you're probably right. So would you agree that one of the most difficult things in life is to know what you don't know? I read an article that says this, not knowing your own limits is like driving a fast car, not knowing its top speed. You can have expensive, fancy car, you know, obviously the highway limits you to the speed limit, but you won't know what its speed limit is until someone has proven to you on a track what it can actually do. So you'll drive this car and perhaps never even wondering. I spoke to Craig this week and issues with their gearbox. There was a button on the gear lever. He said he didn't even know what it was for. And the guy explained to him what it was. For all these years, he's had the vehicle, didn't know what the button does. You see, he didn't know we didn't know. My dad, bless him. When my dad tightens something, it's fuss. When my dad was asked to tighten something, everybody in the family, everybody in the friends, everybody who knew him knew that before he puts it together and bolts it, you make sure that it's right. Because once it's fast, you're not getting that thing off. You're going to have to cut it off, grind it off, drill it out. He also over-designed everything. I remember growing up in the house and he put a ceiling fan in his bedroom. He chained the ceiling fan to the roof truss. He chained the ceiling fan to the roof truss. You see, he didn't know what a bolt's torque setting is. How much load can a bolt handle? He just needed to make sure this wheel can't come off when I'm on the highway. So I'm just going to give it maximum. I don't know how heavy this fan is going to wobble. I don't want this thing taking my head off while I sleep. So I'm just going to over-design this. A friend of mine said, listen, Sean, I see when you come to my garage and you want to help out, I'm mechanically minded and I love mechanical things. He said, I see how you tighten these bolts and I see how many you've broken off. Now, if you break them off, it's fine. The problem is we waste time having to drill it out, having to tap it again. If you break the spark plug, you've got to pull the whole engine out, pull the whole head off just because you have over tightened the spark plug. So he gave me a torque wrench and a bolt torque manual. So before you tighten it, you make the adjustment on the wrench, and when you tighten the bolt, it actually makes this. You can tighten as hard as you want, but it hits the spot where it releases itself so that you can't over tighten it. But because of how I was raised and taught and how I saw my dad do things, even when it goes, it's like, oh, that was too easy. I didn't even feel like I put some muscle into it. Maybe I must just give it just for in case. And he's like, Sean, I heard that. So when we listen, when God speaks, sometimes it just seems easier than what it is. We just complicate it and overcomplicate it. So guys, why is it that when we put something together, and I say guys because I could be the ladies too. My wife always asks for directions. I still struggle. Why is it that we want to put something together, we pull all the stuff out of the box and we put it together and we try and figure it out on our own accord? The training manual or the manual to put it there is in the box. There's a label on the side of the box, but we choose our own way. We try and put it back together. Is that just me? Or am I just being too vulnerable here? And after a long while, it could be 2, 3, 4 hours, we've struggled. We might have broken the thing. And then we open up the manual. Then we go and look for it. And now we're in the box. Until we realize, wait, hold on. This part was supposed to go. Now you got to go and pull the whole thing apart and get it back in and assemble the way it should. But we have wasted time. We could have been busy with something else. You see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to stop wasting time. So this lesson has to do with figuring out what you don't know. And how do we do that? And that is a great question. How do you discover what you don't know that you don't know so that you avoid the potholes and the pitfalls and the landmines you never saw coming? So Solomon, the author of Proverbs, one of the wisest men who ever lived, gave us some help with this in Proverbs 15, verse 22, and he says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You can go and Google and YouTube if you don't believe me. Go and look at some of these guys who've really made it, and each one of them will tell you that they connect with someone, that they have spoken to someone who's given input into their life. And perhaps they've made some choices on their own, but for most part, they've listened to someone to help them on their way. So how can you know what you don't know? You seek advice from advisors. Specifically, you seek from the right advice from the right advisors. So why is it that we don't seek this advice? We think we already know what we need to know. Ignorance, right? We think we know it. It feels better to have people think that we know where we're going than to have them think, hey, this oak doesn't know where he's going. Sometimes we just wing it and it works. Sometimes we wing it and we look like pride. Pride is the one main thing that will cause us to not reach our destiny because it's all about my feelings, how I feel. How do I look in this picture? How do people perceive me? It's too much work to figure out to go and get advice. Laziness. The Bible calls this slothfulness. Wow. Which is a word we don't use very much. Yeah. Because it's very descriptive. Sometimes we make plans without counsel and those often fail. And they are least effective. Other times we get counsel, but we get inferior counsel from the wrong people. So we don't seek advice from wise counselors. So why is that? Because it's easier to get it from our friends. Our friends are not going to make you look like be careful, I'm going to use the wrong word here. But they want you to look smart in the room. They're not going to tell you, hold on, I think that you are not making the right decision. So our friends are going to give us an answer that we pretty much want to hear, right? And my dad knows too. I love to connect with my dad, and I love my dad with all my heart, and my dad and I are great friends. But there's times where I know that the advice he's going to give me is going to make me feel better because he's want to encourage me and to lift me up. The advice he's going to give me, Sean, let you feel better. But someone that I connect to that wants to help me get to my destiny is going to, Sean, perhaps you shouldn't be doing this. Perhaps you shouldn't be doing that. It's easier to follow the herd. Everybody's going in this direction. Let's go. Because if I go this way, I stand out like a sore thumb. So I'd rather just go with the flow. And it's easier to copy what our parents did, as we said. I just want to share a quick story. You know, we had a baby shower yesterday. And it just shows, and when Chanel was talking at the elders' time at Glenridge on Thursday, and she was talking about the prophetic, that it's not just about to make you feel good or you, and it's just an emotion that you go through, but God has always got a purpose, a direction. When it comes to the prophetic word, he's saying something very specific. So a couple of weeks ago, I was running, and God was saying to me, why is it that you put things together and you never look at the manual? Just random thought. And then yesterday we met with a pastor's wife where Liesl and I got connected into 20 years ago. And when I made a career path because management previously told me that I don't have the goods to get there, I decided that I will get there on my own accord. Call it hook or by crook, but I was going to get to the top and I will make it work. And I remember 20 years ago, I made a decision to step out, and there was an opportunity to get promoted. And I went straight to them, and I said, Liesl and I, we're going to be leaving to Polokwane because I've got a promotion. And he's like, but Sean, we didn't talk about this. You know, it's like so taken back. What has God said about this? I was like, God's not going to open up this door for nothing. God is leading us the way. I mean, how clear does he need to speak? And he was taken aback, and I remember his facial expression till this very day. My manager said to me, Sean, you are on a path, career path, where we want to grow and nurture you. Don't do this. And I went and did it in any case. 5 years later, I came to my senses, and eventually the doors opened for us to move back to Durban. And I sat down with that same manager, and he said, Sean, it's great that you've learned a lesson, but you've put yourself back 10 years. You see, friends, in the kingdom, it's exactly the same. God wants to get locked and loaded and go on with it. Don't go through a journey finding one church, then to another, and planting your feet there. Then we're not happy here. Then we go there. God's like saying, my child, find a place where you can lock your feet down and let's get going. Let's not waste time. He's called us to go and plunder hell. And you can only do that if you're intentional about it. Let's not waste any time. Let offense not hold us back to where God has called us for. Andy Stanley writes this, I'm constantly amazed at how resistant folks are to take their cues from people who are where they want to be. Why are we so resistant? But even more amazed at how quick the average person is to borrow a page or two from someone who has never been where he wants to be. How profound is that? We listen to people that have got no fruit behind them. to, we know where God's called us to, but they don't have the goods. Why is it that we would go and seek advice from someone like that? So how then do we get good advice along the path? What's the secret? Solomon in Proverbs 1 verse 5 says this, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." Wise people listen to counsel and get wiser. It just seems obvious, right? Discerning people listen to guidance and get further along their path. So just 4 points here that we're going to get some great handles on this journey. You go and ask Luke, you're fighting a big fish in the ocean and the handle is wonky and it doesn't want to work and the fish is struggling to come up and now you've got a shark attack. If you don't have the right handle, you cannot get it up. You're under pressure, you're under the pump, nothing seems to work. That whole synergy between rod, reel and handle just doesn't want to work and the shark comes and takes the fish. And there's been times where we fished for 4 days and there's no food. It's like, look, we got to get this fish out. And the shark goes, mm-mm. Point number one, knowing that you will always need good counsel. And there's a great movie called Armageddon. I used to love that movie. I still do. How great is that movie? So NASA, the wise counselors, the president, there's a meteor that's going to hit Earth and it's going to destroy Earth. And they couldn't resolve the problem of how we're going to drill into this media to put a bomb in it for it to disintegrate. So what do? They call on professional oil rig drillers. And if you know the story, the oil rig drillers, they get onto this planet, drill a hole, the bomb goes off, and Earth is saved. Point number two, asking more than one person advice. And he writes in Proverbs 11:14, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure." Notice the word Solomon puts before advisors in Proverbs. He says many, not one. Can you say many? Can you say many? Come on, not one, not two, many. And its most important decisions seem to be a sense of urgency to them. Often we have decisions and they're urgent and we need to make a decision and we become stuck. So for me, as a leader in my house, as a leading myself, as a husband and a father, my wife and I have seen instances where there's a pattern. Difficult things come along the way and we've realized that we need someone that's going to help us get unstuck. Because when certain situations get to this point, it's almost like our entire world stops, right? It just feels like everything around you just needs to stop so that you can find a solution for this, right? Or is that just me and my family? And it's got to the point where we've realized we need to connect with someone that helps us identify the reason these things happen, but more importantly, why does I go through this emotion? Why do I go through this stress, and why does it freak me out so much? Proverbs 11:14 says, "As many advisors make victory sure." Come on, who wants to go through life and say, whatever that challenge is, I'm going to overcome it. Whatever that challenge is, I want to be bold. I want to be confident. I want to be strong. Whatever that challenge is, yeah, look, I'm going to have to brace myself, but for sure, I'm going to get around it. And then point number three, not letting pride keep you from admitting what you don't know. And in Proverbs 13:10, it says, "Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Pride may be the number one enemy on our path. Would you agree? Successful people often are open to the fact that they don't know everything, and they are quick to turn to people who do. And again, Solomon writes in Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." You see, it's one thing to go and seek the counsel. It's one thing to get the advice. But it's also another thing to go and outwork that advice and let the fruit in his life now also be evident in my life. So when a friend comes and says, I'm worried about the direction you're headed, has that ever happened to somebody? Someone comes to you and said, hey, I'm worried about this direction that you're headed. The fool would say, you don't need to worry about me. I'm sorted. And we've said that many times. So what does a wise man say when a friend says, I'm worried about you? He says, really? I'm grateful that you're seeing that. What is it that you see? There's a great story of this found in 2 Chronicles 10. I'm not going to read the whole story. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to give you what that story is all about. And it's important because this story is captivated in history in the Word of God. So it's not something that Sean has read and it's misinterpreted. It's a story about someone seeking advice, doing some of the right things, but applying it incorrectly. So there was a young king by the name Rehoboam. He was about to become king. And the people said, listen, we're okay with that. But what we need you to do, and what we want you to think about is your dad was quite... And we need you to tone down a little bit. Can you do that for us? And he says, fine. And he takes 3 days to go and think about it. And he goes to go and seek counsel. He goes to one group and he says, this is what the people are saying. What should I do? And they say, listen to the advice. Hear what they're saying. When you apply that, you're going to have people following you for a very long time. Then he goes to another group of people, maybe his mates. And he asks them, well, this is what the people want me to do. What do you think I should be doing here? And they say, hey, no. Your dad was stronger. You need to level up. You need to go and tell them your dad was this strong. You're going to be even stronger. You will not bend the rules. Your dad punished him this way, you will punish him that way. So he goes back and he tells them, and because it wasn't the answer that the Israelites wanted, when all of Israel, and we read this in verse 16, when all of Israel saw the king had refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part of Jesse's son is this? Like, who's this oak? To our tents, O Israel, let's get out of here. And they rebelled against him. In verse 19, it says, so Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. So he made three really good decisions, smart decisions, okay, initially. He asked time to go and think about it. He seeked advice before he made his decision. He listened to many counselors. He even went to different groups to go and get the answers. What Rehoboam wasn't interested in, though, was the actual advice. He wanted something that's like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I was hoping you were going to answer a different way. See, do we go to friends' advice or do we go to a counselor's advice? And when they give us advice, do we say, oh, hold on, okay, I thought you were going to go this way. Now it's this way. Don't just go for what feels better. How great was that message? That we don't make decisions based on our own feelings. And point number four, take counsel from those who have been where you want to go. Take counsel from someone who bears the fruit of where you want to go. To go and seek counsel from someone might be difficult. It's going to be awkward. It's something you haven't done before. It's going to feel strange. But find someone where the fruit is visible. Someone that has been a road where that you can see that whatever they do, they are on the track and they are consistent at that. So in closing, if I can ask you to stand with me. Just 5 quick points to what will we do with this advice. So number one, come back next week. Make a commitment. Get committed. Get involved. We spoke about joining life groups. Join a life group. Start this journey of community. Read the Bible. We're following the New Testament reading plan. If that's new to you, I love what Craig always says. Today could be the first day of the rest of your life. Don't worry about where you haven't been. Let's start today. Let's get into the Word and make it a constant for every day. Ask God to show you the counselors He has for you. If you don't know where to go, say, Lord, show me. Guarantee when you open yourself up, you might find that someone just crosses your path. Like, what an incredible story it will be to tell. Point number four, seek advice this week from someone who is where you want to be. Don't delay the process. Don't pray on for months and months and months. And point number five, follow Jesus. It seems quite obvious, but the Word of God doesn't say how many people Jesus went to as a total. It also doesn't say how many people rejected this. Jesus made one question, follow me. And all He's seeking from you and I today is just be obedient, to follow in the ways that He's called us for. Amen. I trust that has encouraged you this morning. So if that is you this morning, and you say, Sean, I hear what you're saying, and I've never been there, and I've done some things in my past, I've been somewhere, what do I do? How do I cross this bridge? We sang the words this morning. I'll never know how much it costs. Yes, we won't know. But God says this morning, it was all worth it for you. So if that is you and say, Lord, I want to lock in. Locked and loaded, as they say. I want to be there. Won't you raise your hand just as I am this morning? Say, Lord, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to be the guy that is wasting time. Lord, I want to be the guy who gets on board this military vessel to go and plunder hell, Lord. I want to get on board and I want to be that guy. Father God, you see every hand raised here this morning, Lord. What do you want to say? Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that will come from this day, Lord. For people that have locked and loaded into you, to the call, Father, to get going. Putting one foot in front of the other, Lord. To go and make a difference in the community. That's the area of the bluff, Father God. You see every hand raised, Father God. I pray, Father, that all the disappointments that may be in our past, Father God, that we will overcome those, Lord. And step out in faith, in boldness, and be brave this morning, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, Amen. Amen.